Greg, would you come please? We've been delighted to have Brother Eddie Eggert and his wife with us for these days. He's kind of a veteran family camp speaker for us. As you know, we've been trying to figure out how many years he's come to our family camp, and none of us can come back that far. But always been a blessing, and he will be our speaker throughout the day, tonight, today and tonight. I just do a morning service, evening service, and it's been a blessing to have you.
One of the times that our group got up there and just started going like this, and I thought, what are you doing? You see, they're looking for somebody, or you're doing a head count. But when his mom kicked his shoes off and his toes started going up, he wasn't even doing it. You went there with me to the book of Hebrews. Chapter 10. We've enjoyed being here. I don't think I've ever tried to make a Sunday school or Sunday night go along with a theme, but I didn't know which session to leave you out. I had too many for camp. But we did go to camp. We had one session on sex that I really thought about dropping, and there are a lot of people nervous about that. I was, your pastor was, your youth pastor was, my wife was, and every parent was. What's good said? You know, I was thinking a few years ago, I probably should say it in here. I think we're safe. But around Christmas time, I was talking about whether or not parents thought their kids in Santa Claus was real or not. And I blew it. There was a kid in there that still believed in Santa Claus. 12 years old. I didn't cry long. Someone needed to help that kid. I want to check before we go any farther. Is there anybody that needs a worksheet? Nobody were handed out by some man previous, but they may have skipped you. There's a place in your notebook. If you're a camp, there's one over here. But if you were at camp and don't have a worksheet, we want to make sure you have one. We're going to deal in the Sunday School Hour with the influence of the church. Our theme has been raising godly kids. You may say, well, my kids are grown and gone. You probably have grandkids. By the way, we're expecting a new grandkid today. So if I ramble about grandkids, you'll understand. We fly over tomorrow. On Friday, we fly to California. For our youngest daughter, Liz, she's the one expecting a child. Home at camp, that my son-in-law's middle name is Abraham. So one of the names that they'll give to my grandson is father of my main child. But a man child. But one of the names you're going to give him is Abraham, called baby. My other daughter, who lives in Indiana, has three kids, one's in heaven, but they're going to try for another one, and they were thinking they really liked the name one. So they were thinking about naming, if they had a boy, naming that boy Lincoln and then calling him Blake. If they went together on a vacation or got together, I was just thinking, calling them in for dinner. Hey, Abraham Lincoln, dinner's on the table. So I think our oldest daughter and her husband are going to pick, I hope they're going to pick another day. We're going to talk about three things this morning. The first one is the message. about the influence of the church. And I know some of you are thinking, you're preaching at the choir or you're preaching at school. I was in the ministry long enough to know that there are people in Sunday school that fought and lost the battle later about my church at all. Better people than we are that walk away from God. And if you think never will, God said, pride goes before all. So I want you to look in the Hebrews chapter 10, down in verse 25. It says, it's not a new virtue, brethren, many of you could quote it, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. The day. The role isn't identified there, but all through the Bible, the day speaks of the rapture. The day when Christ will come to give his bride. The day. The day that gives way for all this time. But it tells us in this verse, as we get closer to that day, not to forsake the assembling of ourselves together. Turn back to Hebrews chapter 3. By the way, if you are not at family camp and you weren't here Wednesday night, you're new in the church and you're wondering, what in the world happened at family camp? Whose voice is not happening long before family camp. In fact, the first time I was going to look someplace else and speak, since I had this problem, I talked to somebody, was your pastor, family camp, a couple years ago, and I said, you just need to talk to me on the phone. I don't know how bad I may sound. My wife said, your voice is not good today. Not today, but she'll say that. It sounds the same to me. When she tells me it's good, and when she tells me it's bad, it all sounds alike to me. There are things that make my voice sound worse. She tells me cold brews do. I've cut way down on beer, and that saves your passion. More beer that tastes good. Number one is not supposed to be part of message. Not message, but message. Your kid. Well, let's just read it in chapter 3 of Hebrews. Let's read just verse 13. But exhort one another daily, while it is called today, lest any of you be hardened through the deceitfulness of sin. Through the years of pastoring and counseling, more than once, I would have a couple and give counsel them and talk to them about churches. One, we heard the pastor read it, and one of them, normally the man would say, that's not about married couples. Well, who's it about? You know, he doesn't say to them, the man, if two iron workers or two friends have a problem. He's just talking about it, two people. That's what he said. Go and tell them all. So some of you are beginning to think the thought about these verses that we read Hebrews. It's not talking about children. Well, it's not talking about old people. Or grandparents. Not that a grandparent is old. I was 35 on June 26th, but I won't tell you what year. Of course, as a year older,
the day after.
But the message to look for God, you know, if they don't hear it here, they don't hear it in any place, the influence of the church, you know, one of the things that your pastor always has in his mind when he prepares a sermon is that you, whether you're talking about your kids or their parents, that you would live your life for God. It tells us in Hebrews 10 that we're to exhort. Most of us don't see each other on a daily basis. Most of my life I pastored in Indy, but there were 6 years that I pastored in Lent, which is a small town. In fact, when I first went there, somebody sent an email and said, you know your pastor in that country church. When you ask Bubba to stand and drink to the altar, and a dozen guys stand up, why is that? They laughed. I did a couple of Whitesburg Creek Bowling Green, did two of them. But the first time I was there, the first time we'd done a pastor life retreat in Kentucky. And I started the retreat out on this note. Some of my pastor friends in Indiana want me to ask you, if you get a divorce in Kentucky, are you still brothers and sisters? They'd like you. But they sure hit me with Indiana chokes the rest of the time. And we had one of them tell my wife she was talking at the table at that point. Live for God. You know, if your kids go to public school, they don't hear, they may not even hear them. In a Christian school, they should hear it if you homeschool it. School them, they should hear it every day. You know, the influence of the church is important. Very, very, very important. Here's what God says. Don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together. At the end of that verse, he says that we expect worship as we see the day approach. I believe we're living just before Christ comes back. I really do. Every time I read the news or hear the news, it's like, he's got to come in soon. But here's God's advice. As you see that day approaching, the church, the assembling of yourselves together become even more important. As parents, if you have any hope of raising God again, do not get out of church. Do not go to a church where the message is just not grown in their head. Live for God. Told you that number one was message. Not messages, but I want to talk about the messages. Where else are you going to hear the messages that you hear here? Where else would your kids be inundated with doctrine? You know, doctrine in our day we come not for all of us, maybe in hope. Had a good friend several years back, it was probably 9 years ago. I got to know him better moving back to Indianapolis because he lived in Indianapolis. But his dad is a Baptist evangelist. And he called me and looked and he said, I'm joining Presbyterian Church. And when I picked myself off, I said, what are you doing? Your dad, a Baptist evangelist. Your grandpa was a Baptist evangelist. You have always gone to an independent Baptist church. What are you doing? And he said, I just wanted you to know we're going to join you. I really believe that's where God would have us. And I said to him on the phone, don't blame it on God. God's not a part of it. But he's an extremely talented man, extremely music. And he was only in the church about 2 months before he was invited to have lunch with the pastor and his staff. And I think there were 2 deacons there. You know, he was the only one at that lunch table that didn't order a wine. And after the waitress had gone, he looked at his pastor and he said, How can all of you drink wine? And the preacher said, oh, we forgot to praise the Baptist. And just kind of laughed off. Well, he called me back and said, I'm getting out of there, getting back in the Baptist church. You know the doctrine. God says there's coming day, and we're living where people will not endure sound doctrine. You know, none of us may understand how important it is to look at that. But our kids need to know sound doctrine. They can't live for God unless they know sound doctrine. Years ago, I was speaking at my alma mater as far as the Bible college showed, and I was speaking on counseling. In fact, I was speaking in the counseling class. We got done a little bit early, so count on that day. It happened once in my lifetime. So we threw it open for questions. The teacher threw it open for questions. One of those questions was, where would you recommend I go for a master's in counseling? I looked at the teacher and I said, do you want to answer that? Where I was speaking, my alma mater had just started that year offering a master's in counseling. And I said to the teacher, do you want to answer that or do you want me to? He goes, I'm going to answer it. I looked at that young man and I said, I would not recommend you go anywhere for a master's in counseling. Go somewhere and work on the doctrine. You need to know the doctrine. You need to know your Bible. If you go someplace for a master's in counseling, that's not anywhere as important as knowing your doctrine. Your kids need to know their doctrine. You know, when I was heading for Bible college, ask myself, why do you believe the Bible? Or do you believe the Bible? And this summer between my senior year in Bible college, I had to read the Bible and ask myself, is that really what I believe? You know, I was charged when I was in Bible college on doctrine. I don't know that you would think I'm sharp now on doctrine. But I never understood
until they provide for me just how it's for me. Not for laws. I made a mistake in the second church I pastored, and I pastored three that it was important for you to go to the hospital. And one of the men who'd been in the church a long time said, doctrine is all for, no doctrine is life. Okay? Doctrine is not born. The doctrine of the omnipresence of God is not boring. Everything I say, you say, or I hear, everywhere I go, he goes. It's relevant to life. If you're going to raise godly kids, they need to know their doctrine thoroughly. Most homes, I was raised by two of the godliest people that I knew, but there was one home, and they said, I'm going to try to teach me doctrine. If your kids are learning doctrine, you learning truth here, whatever you do, don't think that's significant. And don't think that every even independent Baptist church holds doctrine high. They don't. I can't tell you how many times when somebody comes back from vacation, they'll say, we're another church. But they can teach us anything that God's Word would be teaching. Look over in the book of Ephesians. Chapter 4. Ephesians 4. You know, God is going to get a church with some people. That's what he said. In verse 11, and he, God, gave some apostles and some prophets, that's in the past, and some evangelists and some pastor teachers. He's talking about given men. And he has given him men here. Look at the very next verse, verse 12. Why did he do it? Why did he put special men to teach in the church? For what? Perfecting of the saints. That's me and you, but more on our theme is our children. If you want your children to receive God's gifts, and it's here that God has placed gifts in them, the church has great influence on kids. Incredible influence on kids. Let's keep reading then in Ephesians chapter 4. Go back to the beginning of verse 12, for the perfecting of the saints, for what? For the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body. These men are God's gift to your children. Don't think that church is not important. I've heard you heard, well, I can worship God in nature. Well, I believe that. But God would give men in the church. You can go out and worship God, but you're cheating yourself out of one of the gifts that God talked to us about. Let me say it a little different. You're cheating your children out of one of the gifts that God told us about. Okay, and I don't know for sin to be. But I think it's very true what parents excuse in moderation show do with that stuff. If you put anything above the church, as far as your activity, as far as sports, as far as work, what parents excuse in our life, children do it exactly. If they learn from you moderately, it's okay to be out of church, to miss church. They're probably going to have an accident so that in their life. And you'd be surprised if fundamental independent Baptist churches, how many people
put everything
before the church.
Coming after the break of
everything.
The
virtual of the
20-year thing.
I was in the church for what's speaking there.
Yes.
But I was in the church
for the 20-year celebration.
And I was standing by the virtual of T-Mobile. If we could pull here, some of you would agree with that. Some of you would disagree. But every moment I tell you that God would agree with that statement. For that child,
the DVD at this point.
What he was going to get at church would be all
of your saints recorded.
And what God would march in there. Cheated him. It may have been something that was said in BBS here that would have changed his life for God's good and forever. And ungodly parents, I don't know anything about them, I don't even know their names, but some ungodly parents thought it was more important for him to be in marketing and practice than BBS. Listen to me. If it meant he wouldn't be marching band at all, VBS was still more important. We had a couple from this church move to our area and they visited our church. We went out to eat one night and he looked at me and he said, I really believe that God wants us to join our church. But I thought it was only fair to teach you, or to tell you, that we will not be in Sunday school. And I said, why is that? And he said, because when we come to church, God wants us to stay together in a family. And you want to take one kid this way, and one kid this way, and us as parents this way. And I'm sitting there thinking, are you crazy? And he looked at me and he said, there is not one thing that my kids need to learn that I will leave upon. So, trickery, why would we waste time with you teaching you to choose a godly faith parent? But your kids would not see the message. That's a good point. Now, that whole conversation started out with this. I feel that God wants us to join your church. You know, they didn't join the church. Understand what Eve wanted to see happen was more important to him than what he at least said he believed was God's will for his life. What a terrible thing to take away from the kid lessons that are dependent upon their love to be ease in their life. What a terrible thing to take away from them. Well, I need to hurry or that clock runs back. Let's talk for a minute, number two, about music. You know, there's one other thing we could say about you that it's either moral or immoral or awful. You know how many Christian parents think that music is all moral? It's not. I know it may be all moral, but you put them together and they're either moral or immoral. So I don't believe that. And make any difference. It's true. You know, David played a harp to throw away evil spirits. He played a harp that demons couldn't stand. It wasn't the instrument. It's what he played on. You know, at a time in the Bible when Israel was going through a revival, they threw up the music and took the music of David again. That God chose to tell us that there is some music that ought to be thrown out and replaced by another type of music. You know, they're not here to have a role that they can influence. One of the areas I didn't pay my ear to was music. You know, when I wanted to finally straighten that out, it was one of the hardest things I had to give up in my life. You know how many times I gave up multiple music? Unlike a smoker, I quit any time. I quit dozens of times. And there they are smoking. I quit wrong kinds of music lots of times. And then back. You know where people learn about good music? At church. I'm not a musician. I don't play an instrument. My wife, my kids play the piano. Not me. I play the CD, play the MP3 player, but that's about the extent of it. My father-in-law used to church play a guitar and a harmonica, some God. He put a little thing around his neck that went all the harmonica, and he was off. One day he gave me a harmonica and he said, any young could learn to play this. 3 months later, I gave it back and said, I'm no good. I can learn. I just don't have musical ability. But it is at church where the devil's philosophy about music is challenged. Where kids pick up things back Satan with my music. Music all more not according to God's word. Turn with me over to 2 Chronicles. And if you have never seen this passage, you need to 2 Chronicles chapter 5. We're an Old Testament church. The Jewish people have assembled for the purpose of worshiping God. But the priests have not got up another thing yet. It's still time for music. Again at verse 13. It came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were as one, to make one sound to be heard in praising. Now we're talking about trumpeters and singers. Thanking the Lord, to be heard praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lit, How many of you worked last year?
You know, when I walk and I take up the gun, I said, save my life. Why does your attention camp, I think it broke Bruno up and we put it on and take it off my glasses. And he said to me, you know, the day I come, oh, I have fair price on my day. But stuff moves. I even when you're reading it, all of a sudden what you're reading is not where it used to be, or it doesn't look like it's where it used to be. It's not that my Bible is moving, it's just my sight that's moving. Let's start back at the beginning of verse 13. And it came even to pass, as the trumpeters and singers were of one, to make one sound to be heard, praising and thanking the Lord. And when they lifted up their voice with the trumpets and cymbals and instruments of music, praise the Lord's name, for he is good and his mercy is forever. That then the house was filled with the cloud. What we would call the church was filled with the cloud. Even the house of the Lord. Notice verse 14. So that the priest, what we would call the preachers, so that the priest could not stand to what? To minister by reason of the cloud. For the glory of the Lord had filled the house of God. It was certain the music service stopped to watch. And then the music was so good that God wanted to be a part of it. That the glory of God was so intense in that room that they couldn't preach. God moved in.
That first thing that I wasn't doing. It's causing more trouble.
David,
Boston, see, they didn't record it.
But it is
there's a nice book in church,
where young people find their pains if it's not at church. Better be in a Bible college.
I know you're busy. Why don't we do something with that book?
I met my wife in Bible college. She was from Indiana, and I was from Oklahoma. Ever since my parents
lived in Indiana,
and well, tell you who you want. I can remember, like, when Jeff Hay, Brother Swartley, was my youth pastor in high school. I was dating a certain girl, and he came up and he said, you don't want to fall off with her. Well, yes, I do. But I'm so thankful that I didn't marry her. That I married the woman that I married. Even if it meant a wife in Indiana. We started dating the last week of my junior year. And then I went back and told the work for welder. And she wrote and asked for a picture so she could show people what I looked like. I wasn't as handsome then as I am now. But I had welded that day on the inside of a pipe. All that blowback went behind me. I had not moved on. When I took them off, I looked like a raccoon. I went home looking like that.
put on my welcome cap and said, take a picture. That's a picture I sent her. Why she married me, I'm still trying to figure out. But it's in church where we learn to look for the qualities in a person that would make a good spouse. You know, the Bible teaches that beauty is only healthy, skin deep. And if you've ever seen a body deep skin, you'd agree with that. But character, what's on the inside, that's what's important. Beauty that is not only fake, but beauty that's important and activated. That's one of the reasons God doesn't look at the outward here, but looks where? The heart. It's a church where we learn what to look for. It's a church where we learn how to be in character a good thing. You know, part of my life, I went to a Christian school. And part of my life, I went to a public school because there wasn't a Christian school there. But never did they be in a Christian school or a public school. The character qualities that are to be found in that comprehend. What I learned of that, I learned in church. If your kids are going to Fort Hill, they're going to learn here. Maybe in a service of a whole church together, and maybe in a youth Sunday school class or an outdoor activity. And you know the devil wants to try to develop in me.
Well, this ain't been on the headache, okay?
He wasn't trying to give me that spiritual virtue. He wasn't trying to have
it. You have to try. It's been so long since I've tried.
But the church is called.
Don't mind if I do that.
It is so important. Listen to me. It is so important.
What are you struggling with?
Give
me a shot. See how it works out.
Sure. Listen. So they learn what to look for. So they learn what to be as a there is no other place I know of where you can run and learn that. That is the job of the church for the perfecting of the saints. You say, but I thought it was for the perfecting of the saints for the work of ministry. You know, one of the two reasons the Bible teaches two people ought to get together and be married is for the work of the ministry, to serve God together. I can't tell you how important it is to keep your kids in church, to put them with good doctrine, solid doctrine that is solid. Good news, good teaching, good one for the race, what to be as a Christian. Sorry, it's so hard. Our Heavenly Father, we love you. Lord, we pray that Christ may be with us in the service to come. In Christ's name we ask.